Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memories, oh what joy,
oh, what joy
they bring to me,
they bring to me.
How I long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
How I long
once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
How I long once more to be
with my friends at the old country church.
Well, good morning, everyone, and greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We're going to turn this service over to Brother Dennis Lee now. Brother Dennis.
Good morning, everyone. Let's go to the Father in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for all the wonderful things that you've given each and every one of us. Thank you for this assembly that we have this morning, both online and on the phone and here in our prayers. And Father, please give us understanding of your words, and may your Holy Spirit be with us all during this service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So this morning, I'm just going to go over something. It's going to be mostly reading today. I'm not going to get too overly rambunctious into the explanation of what I'm going to be reading. But there will be some, but I don't want to get a whole lot into it. One is because I'm actually studying this currently. And two, because it would be entirely too long. And the reason I say that is we're going to go over two complete chapters in the book of Isaiah. And if you know anything about Isaiah, he was rather long-winded. We're going to do two chapters, not just one. But I found something, and this all started in the book of Revelations. Okay? I studied, whether it be my calling or just an internal need to know, I'm not real sure, but I've been studying the end times really, really hard. I have come to the conclusion, well, it's not even a conclusion, it's a fact at this point, that there's not a single word in the book of Revelation that is not somewhere else in the Bible, not a single solitary word. Which leads me to question, first of all, why there's so many doctrines on it. And that in and of itself just blows my mind. There's two, you know, just the things that we see on a regular basis. And it's going rampant right now. I mean, absolutely rampant. People saying that, you know, the time is here. You know, the rapture is going to be tomorrow, or the rapture is going to be on this day, the rapture is going to be on this day. It's going rampant. I mean, and they're calling days out at this point. So I caution you about that stuff. I'm not going to get into the rapture today. That's not what this study's about. But I do caution you to study, and if you hadn't already, start studying this stuff, because there's a couple things that's coming, and it can, both of these things, both of them, in fact, the good book here says it will turn many Christians away from him, okay? That is the great deception and the mark of the beast. Both can turn you away from God, and both can and will make sure your home is in hell instead of, or in the lake of fire, and instead of with the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and the Father. But moving on. So I was reading in Revelations chapter 19, and I'm going to read three verses here, and then we'll get into the study of where I found what I'm going to talk about. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon it, on him, was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame, the flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had the name written that no man knew but himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. So obviously they're talking about Jesus Christ there. We're not going to go any further into this, because this is where, all right, so this stuff right there. Everybody knows that Christ is going to come back twice. He's going to come back once on the clouds, sitting on his throne. It literally says he's sitting on the clouds. That's when the rapture takes place. The second time he comes back, he's riding a white horse, bringing tens of thousands of the saints and angels and whatnot to come and judge the earth. Not necessarily judge at that point, but to bring on the wrath, the bowls of wrath. So this is where he's talking the second time. The thing that caught me, the thing that just really, and I'm the person that when I see something, I have to have the answer to it. And I'm a very inquisitive person. And the verse that we're talking about here, it says, and he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. So I'm sitting there thinking, where did this blood come from? I've heard many times, that blood, the blood of where he got crucified, that it's absolutely not correct. I'm just going to throw that out there. That is not correct. I'm sure some of the rest of you have heard that as well. That is not correct. So we're going to go, like I say, this is something that I've been studying. We're going to go to where it actually tells us where this blood came from. And as we're reading this stuff and understanding this stuff, you're probably going to come up with another question. And I have my theory on it, but I'm not going to get into that today, because at this point it would just be a theory and I can't prove it. So I don't want to say anything just yet. So let's go to Isaiah. We're going to read chapters 59 and 63, but we're going to start with chapter 63. These two chapters, truly, I don't know how the book of Isaiah was actually laid out whenever it was wrote, or whenever they put it in the Bible, whether these two chapters should have literally been going together, or maybe even that the way they read, they could very well have been one that got broken into two. But they most assuredly go together. And they're talking about the same thing. They're talking about the same conference. So from Isaiah 63, Who is it that cometh from Edom with dyed garments from Boaz, that is glorious in his apparel, traveling in the greatness of his strength? I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. And pay attention to the words. I know I'm not a very eloquent speaker, but pay attention to the words here. We can already, from this point, figure out that they're talking about Christ. Just right off the bat, they're talking about Christ, Isaiah is. Wherefore art thou arrayed in thine apparel, and thy garments like that treadeth in the winepress? And this is Christ speaking. I have trodden the winepress alone, by himself alone. And of the people there was none with me. For I will tread them in mine anger, and trample them in my fury, and in their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garments, and I will stain all my raiment. Okay? That right there is telling us exactly where the blood came from that he was dipped with. Okay, so let's continue on. For the day of vengeance is in my heart, and the year of my recompense has come. And I looked, and there was none to help. And I wondered that there was none to uphold. Therefore mine own arm brought salvation unto me, and my fury it upheld me. And I will tread down the people in my anger, and make them drunk in my fury, and I will bring down their strength to the earth. I will mention the loving kindness of the Lord and the praises of the Lord according to all that the Lord hath bestowed on us, and the great goodness toward the house of Israel, which he hath bestowed on them according to his mercies and according to the multitude of his loving kindness. For he surely they are my people, children that will not lie, so he was their Savior. In all their affliction, he was afflicted, and the angel of his presence saved him. In his love and in his pity, he redeemed them, and he bare them, and carried them all the days of old. But they rebelled, and vexed his Holy Spirit. Therefore, he was turned to their enemy, and he fought against them. Then he remembered the days of old, Moses and his people, saying, Where is he that brought them up out of the sea with the shepherd of the flock? Where is he that put his Holy Spirit within them, that led them by the right hand of Moses with the glorious arm, dividing the water before them to make himself an everlasting name, that led them through the deep as a horse in the wilderness, that they should not stumble? As a beast goeth down into the valley, the Spirit of the Lord caused him to rest, so didst thou lead thy people to make thyself a glorious name. Look down from heaven, and behold from the habitation of the holiness and the glory, where is thy zeal and thy strength, sounding of thy bowels, and of the mercies towards me? Are they restrained? Doubtless thou art our father, O Abraham, be ignorant of us, and Israel acknowledge us not. Thou, O Lord, art our father, our redeemer, thy name is everlasting. O Lord, why hast thou made us to err from thy ways, and harden our heart from thy fear? Return from thy servant's sake the tribes of thine inheritance. The people of thy holiness have possessed it but a little while. Our adversaries have trodden down thy sanctuary. We are thine, and thou never bearest rule over them. They are not called by thy name. And let's go to chapter 59. 59 is substantially longer, but not that much longer. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies, your tongue hath mothered perverseness. None calls for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth. They trust in vanity and speak lies, that they conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. They hatch the cockroach's eggs and weave the spider's web. He that eateth of their eggs dieth, and that which is crushed breaketh out into the vipers. Their web shall not be garments, neither shall they cover themselves with their works. Their works are works of iniquity, and their act of violence is in their hands. Their feet run to evil. I want to stop right there, because this is just something that came to me, and I got to speak on it. If this ain't talking about what we're living through right now, I don't know what is. Just pay attention to the words here, and we are absolutely 100% living in this time right now. Their webs, excuse me, their webs shall not be their garments, neither shall they cover themselves with their works. Their works are works of iniquity, and their acts of violence are in their hands. Their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity, wasting and destruction are in their paths. The way of peace they know not, and there is no judgment in their goings. They have made them crooked. Make them crooked paths. Whosoever goeth therein shall not know peace. Therefore is judgment far from us, neither doth justice overtake us. We wait for light, but behold obscurity for brightness. But we walk in darkness. We grope the walls like the blind. We grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noon as in the night. We are in desolate places, as dead men. We roar like lions, and mourn sore like doves. We look for judgment, but there is none, or salvation, but it is far off from us. For our transgressions are multiplied before thee, and our sins testify against thee. For our transgressions are with us, and as for our iniquities, we know them. We know them. In transgressing and lying against the Lord, and departing away from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from his heart words of falsehood, and judgment is turned away backward, and justice is standeth afar off. For truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. Yea, truth faileth, and he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. And the Lord saw it, and it displeased him, and there was no judgment. And he saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness it sustained him. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate, and a helmet of salvation upon his head, and he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing, and he was clad with the zeal of the folk. And according to their deeds, accordingly, he will repay fury to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies. To the islands he will repay recompense. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up the standard against him, and the Redeemer shall come to Zion, and unto them that return from the transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord. As for me, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord. My spirit that is upon thee, and my words which I have put in my mouth, shall not depart out of my mouth, nor out of thy mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, saith the Lord, from henceforth and forever and ever. All right. That's both chapters, and I don't know if you caught a couple things there. Okay. First thing we need to understand and truly understand is both of these things are talking about the end times, the times that we're living in right now. Both of these things are still in the future. And I want to point out again two things. One of the things was that his blood or his clothes was dipped in blood. The second thing I want to point out is he said he was alone. And it said that in two separate places that he was alone. Okay. So that and again, I'm gonna tell you, explain this as best I can. I don't like to get into speculation, particularly with the Bible. A lot of people do a lot of speculating and such. I'm just gonna tell you where I'm going with my study, so that I'm not gonna say this is a fact. I'm not gonna say this is not a fact. I'm not gonna say this is what's gonna happen. I don't know. I'm literally in the middle of this, and I'm studying this. So just take what I say with a grain of salt and do your own studying, which is what I recommend doing. Because I have said many, many, many times, don't take my word for anything. That's what this book's for. If nothing else, take what I say to spark curiosity in yourself, and go do your own research. That's what this is all about anyway. Because contrary to what a lot of people tell you, the pastor, myself, Pastor Kenny, none of us are putting you in heaven. Okay? We may show you the way. We're not putting you in heaven. That's between you and Christ. Okay? That's the only two people involved in your salvation, you and Christ. So don't, a lot of people out there get that all kinds of contrived, okay? But salvation is literally between you and Christ. You need to work on that between you and Christ, okay? We can teach you and show you the way, show you the road, but whether you take that road or not is up to you. And that's the best we can absolutely do. It is each and every one of us. If you're tagged with the name Christian, you are given a chore to do. And that chore is to go out and preach the Word of God. Okay? That's not only for preachers. Every Christian on this planet is required to go out and preach the Word of God. Every one of us. You are to witness daily. You are to go out and do these things. That's not a request. That is a command, and that's literally what he calls it in here. It is a command. That's one of the things that you are required to do. I don't want to get into the whole works thing, because there's a whole sect of Christians out there. It's all you got to do is believe. So I got news for you. Satan believes. He don't even believe. He knows. Okay. Because he's there. He sees it. He knows what's going on. And we know what's going on with him. So believe this. Don't get you into heaven. I don't. Works, like the Catholics push works, won't get you into heaven. The only thing that gets you into heaven is Jesus Christ, the grace that he gives each and every one of us. But yes, you do have to do some works. You have to repent. You have to believe. You have to spread the word. Okay? You have to witness. You have to do these things. And yes, you have to be baptized. A lot of people call that a work. But I'm telling you, it's right here, black and white. You can't get no plainer than black and white. Okay? So, yes, you need to go out and do these things. But getting back to what we were saying. Okay, so Christ was alone when he comes back. And that in and of itself strikes me as, I don't want to say odd, but it don't fit in with the storyline that we've been taught all the years that we've been taught, okay? Because like I said, every single solitary Christian out there knows that Christ comes back twice, or they should know that. Once on the clouds, for the rapture, because he never steps foot on the ground. He comes in the clouds, he stays in the clouds, he's on his throne in the clouds, blows his horn, rapture. Okay, a little more entailed than all that, but I mean, that's just a cliff note version of it. And then comes back a second time. And on the second time, he's coming on his horse, which was what we started off with in chapter 19 there. Comes back on his horse with his 10,000 of saints and angels and all that stuff. And that's when the Battle of Armageddon takes place. Okay. So our question is, where is he alone? What is he doing when he's alone? And then the second question is, we see where he gets the blood from. What are these two tied together? According to the way we read Isaiah, it is. But is it? Because it could be, Isaiah could be split into two different things as well. That's why I say I've got my speculation. And my speculation is, and again, don't quote me on this because I'm still studying this. Please don't quote me. And we start getting all kinds of nasty grams out there saying, oh, he said this. No, I'm not saying this. I'm speculating. Okay. Whenever the people of Israel go to the mountains, okay, it says they go to the mountains and whatever the Antichrist comes on the scene and tells them to flee for the mountains, okay, that they're going to be taken care of for 3.5 years. Well, right before that, right after that, it says that the fleeing Israelites, as they're fleeing, that Satan opens his mouth and a great big flood comes out, okay? Now, this is why they're fleeing. This is not the Battle of Armageddon that's taking place here. So you got to keep this stuff separated here. This is why they're fleeing. It says that Satan's mouth opens up and a flood comes out. Well, we know from studying other parts of the Bible that what they're talking about by the flood is not water. It is hordes of soldiers or people or whatever the case may be. We're going to call it, we'll just say it's an army, whether that be a civilian army or a military army. It's an army of men coming after them. Okay? And then it says that the earth opened up and devoured them. What if, this is just a what if, and I'm not, again, I'm still studying this, so please don't go too far into it. This is something for you to study. I'm giving you ideas to study on here. What if that what it's talking about whenever and devoured them, that was actually Christ coming in and devouring them, saving the Israelites, because they're still going to be saved for 3.5 years. So this is between the rapture and this is between his coming back. I don't know. It's just a thought. Something to think on. Again, I'm still studying that. But more importantly, the things that it's saying about what's going on now, and many of these things, Paul wrote about these things extensively. Okay? And I want to go over these a little bit, but I don't want to go too far off out in the left field here and something that I'm still studying on. So we're going to go back to chapter 59 and go over that a little bit, and then we'll call it a day. All right. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God. That is going on right now. I read something. Matter of fact, it was just yesterday, that in 1999, 24 years ago, however you want to look at it, 70% of the people in this country attended church of one sort or another. 70% attended Let me, when we refer to that, okay, because they didn't specifically say church. They said 70% attended regularly a religious service. Let's put it that way, okay? Because they're throwing in things like the Mormons and the Jehovah's Witnesses and all that stuff as well, okay? So, but they're using the same criteria there, okay? So you've got 70% in 1999 as of whenever this report was, or this thing was done just a couple weeks ago. Only 45% attend now. In the course of 20 years, we've lost just almost completely half of the church. In the course of 20 years. If that in and of itself don't say something, I don't know what does. In 20 years, lost over half of the church. And then we go on and look at some of these other things that it's talking about here. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with an iniquity. Now, the hands being defiled with blood, we can go many, many different places with that one. You know, we could be talking about abortions. This literally could be talking about whenever the saints are being martyred, okay? Just straight up murder. We've got some of the highest murder rates right now in the world than we've ever had in the world. And your fingers with iniquity, your lips have spoken lies, your tongue hath muttered perverseness. I got to be careful of how I say this because we're on YouTube. So look at all the things that's going on out there. You know, we've got men saying they're women. We've got women saying they're men. We've got men that used to be, men that used to be women having babies, calling herself a man having a baby. I mean, the world has literally flipped upside down. And all this, every bit of this stuff has taken place in the last 25 to 30 years. Every bit of it, the vast majority of it took place. You know, I'm not going to get into the politics of it, but the vast majority of this stuff was turned somewhere around 2008 time frame, and I ain't going to get into who was in office. I ain't getting into the politics of it, but I just want to point out that a lot of this stuff, I mean, it had been going on for a while, but he opened the floodgates to it. There's no doubt about that. He opened the floodgates, and they have gone full steam ahead. They hatch the cockatrice eggs and the weave the spider's web. He that eateth of their eggs dieth. And that which is crushed breaketh out into a viper. Their web shall not become garments, neither shall they cover themselves with their works. Their works are works of iniquity, and their act of violence is in their hands. Their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood. And again, those could go right back to the same things we were talking about. You know, the first thing that pops into my mind is all the abortion that's going on out there. And I do thank God for the things that happened just a couple of years ago, when they started doing this overturning the Roe versus Wade stuff. And I am thrilled that we live in a state that currently does not allow abortions. Okay. Naturally, these people are all kinds of hurt, you know, because they can't kill a baby. But nonetheless, in our state, it is currently illegal. That doesn't mean that something may not happen in the future or they change it again, but at least it's in the state's hands where it should be, And the people of this state said they didn't want that. The way of peace they know not, and there is no judgment in their goings that have made them crooked. And whosoever goeth therein, whoever therein shall not know peace. Therefore is judgment far from us. Neither doth justice overtake us. We wait for light, but behold, obscurity for brightness, but we walk in darkness. The vast majority of the people walking around today are without a shadow of a doubt walking in darkness. They have no clue what's going on around them. They have no clue what's going on. Even in the news, and I don't want to get off on a tangent here, but our news and people sitting on the internet, you know, 23 hours a day and all this stuff, the garbage that's being spewed over the TVs and all this stuff, making people brain dead, okay? They're straight up, plain up, brain dead. They can't think for themselves. They have to have somebody think for them. And if you don't think that's true, turn on the news sometimes. They're telling you exactly what to think. They're not giving you the news. They're telling you what to think. And whenever you go on the internet, the same thing. They're telling you what to think and how to think. They're not giving you just straight up information saying, you know, this happened. They're telling you why they think it happened or what agenda they're wanting to push for why, for why it happened. We grope the walls like blind. We grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as in the night. We are in a desolate places as dead men. And again, that is speaking just as plainly as day as to what's going on right now. We roar like bears. We mourn, soar like doves. We look for judgment, but there is none. For salvation, but it is far off from us. Now, I will say this. When this particular book was written, was, 600 years before Christ, I believe? A good 400. I think it was 600, though. But while Isaiah is writing this, he's not only writing this through the Spirit for us today, but he was also writing this for the people of his time as well. So salvation at that time for them was far off. Salvation for us is now. Okay? All you have to do is open your eyes, repent, and take your Lord Savior Jesus Christ as your Savior. For our transgressions are multiplied for thee, and our sins testify against us, for our transgressions are with us. And as for our iniquities, we know them. In transgressing and lying against the Lord, I'm going to stop right there. Lying against the Lord. How many times have you turned on the TV to some of this garbage that's spewing out on these so-called churches, and they're just absolutely flat-ass lying. It's straight-up lying about everything they say. There's no ifs, ands, buts about it. They're just straight-up lying, taking the Word of God and turning it to their means. And in a lot of cases, all they're doing is just trying to suck money out of you. In other cases, they're trying to send you straight to hell. And I hate to say that, but that's just the straight-up truth. If you see a so-called preacher or a so-called pastor on TV or the internet or anywhere else, and he's speaking, and he ain't got this book in his hand, and he ain't got that book opened up, and he ain't reading out of this book, you know automatically he's not from God. Just straight up. And if he just takes one verse, one single verse, and takes that one single verse and talks for 2 hours on it, he's not from God. I'm just telling you. You have to take this book, and you have to put everything in context. if you don't put stuff into context, you don't know what it's talking about. That's why whenever we talk about the Bible, we at the bare minimum, it'll be a full chapter. It's not one verse handpicked out of there. You don't cherry pick a verse out of there to come up with what you want to say. And I don't want to talk about my brothers that believe in a pre-tribulation rapture, but that's exactly how they come up with that, of a cherry-picked verse. If you read the whole thing in context, you don't see that. There's no way you can come up with that. You have to put everything in the context. And then as we don't get started on the rapture, let me say this, okay? There's several different views out there. I'm not going to get into which view I personally believe in, okay? It's obviously not a pre-tribulation rapture, but you have the pre-tribulation, you have a mid-trib view, you have a pre-wrath view, you have a post-trib view, and then you have one that, again, makes absolutely no sense to me again, which is after the thousand-year reign view, okay, which that one don't make no sense to me. And then you get some real lunatics out there that thinks it all happened in AD 70. I don't even acknowledge them. So I can make a case for all of, even the one, you know, the post-millennial one, I can make a good argument for. I don't believe it, but I could make a good argument for it. The pre-trib, I can't even make a good argument for. Okay? If I can't make a good argument using this book, I can't believe in it. Okay? And honestly, if you want to know the truth of the matter, what I truly believe is not none of those. It's more of an amalgamation of them, because I don't think any of them have 100% of what they're talking about to be true. They all have little faults in them that you can find in every one of them. So I choose to have a little bit of amalgamation of them. I don't even know what it truly is. But what I believe is what this book says, okay? Let's just leave it at that. I'm not going to go any further into it. If it's not in this book, it ain't true. It's straight up unabashed. This tells us exactly what we need to know. It tells us what we need to do to make it into heaven, and it tells us how we need to do it. And I'm going to stop there on the preaching today, but I'm going to, if nothing else, okay, my job, or at least the way I see my job is to go out there and try to get new believers, okay, to make new believers out of more people. Once I have got these people in and got them to believe in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and to trust him and put their faith in him, it is my job to work with people to strengthen their faith, to bring their faith closer, to bring their understanding of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ better, so they get a better understanding. Because the more you know, the more you go with that thing. You know? You have to study, not read the Bible. I'm not telling you don't read the Bible, but you have to study the Bible. And I'm going to tell you, the more you study, the more questions you have, and the more questions you have, the more you want to study. It just kind of works out that way. That's kind of like what we were talking about earlier. I'm still in the middle of this study. I might come back next week and say something totally different. I don't think so, but I very well feel it. Yeah. The point is, you need to read the Bible. The point is, you need to study the Bible on a regular basis. Don't, by any way, shape, form, or fashion, get all of your knowledge all your understanding of the Bible from somebody else. Whether that be myself, whether that be Pastor Tony or Pastor Kenny or anybody else, okay? We're bringing it to you. It is what we're trying to do is get you to read it for yourself. Don't take my word for anything. Don't take Pastor Tony's word for anything. Don't take anybody else's word for it, okay? It's you and your Lord Savior Jesus Christ. You have to understand it on your own terms, okay? Because if you, it's your soul that is in question. It's your soul that's going to be judged, okay? Whenever you're judged, I'm not going to be standing there next to you. Pastor Tony ain't going to be standing there next to you. It's going to be Jesus Christ, okay? That's what you need to understand. You need to get into the book yourself. You need to study regularly. And I highly recommend before you ever even pick this book up, you sit down and you pray and you ask the Holy Spirit to guide you through the book, to help you through it. And I promise you, you're going to come up with some questions. I promise you, you will. You know, that ain't what I've been taught before. And in a lot of cases, you're right. It's not what you've been taught before. And in a lot of cases, you'll find out that some of the stuff you've been taught before is absolutely wrong. But that's just what happens. And there are a lot of false teachers out there. A lot of false teachers out there. Have been for a lot of years. Paul was talking about false teachers in his time. That was 2,000 years ago. So, and there's a lot of stuff out there that's been taught that is wrong. And depending on where you're coming from, you may very well have been taught something that's contrary to the Word of God, because it happens all the time. And that's what we're here to do, to try to steer you right back into the straight and narrow. The broad is the path of destruction. Straight and narrow is the way. So, again, you need to read your Bible on a regular basis. You should study your Bible on a daily basis. Set up a certain time, whether that be in the morning, afternoon, during your lunch break, or whatever the case may be, to you physically study the Bible. Okay? And you do it, you can do it just like what we did. As I was reading, I found something, a question that brought up something in my mind. I had to have the answer to it, and lo and behold, I found it. And I read it. Now I'm in the middle of where I'm at. Okay? So, could this go further? Yes. Could we be where we really needed to be? Absolutely. In the grand scheme of things, that particular question may not have absolutely any relevance whatsoever. And the reason it may not have any relevance to you and I is because, like I said, two separate comings. You see the blood on a second coming. And the second time, we don't want to leave here to start with. Yeah, so. I'm going to leave it there. And let's go to the Father in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for all the wonderful things you've given us. Thank you for being with us and your study today. For your Holy Spirit. We pray, Lord, that everything you've taught us and given us, that we will be grateful for receiving, and that includes the trials and tribulations that you have, and probably will, and upon each and every one of us that watching today. Father, we pray for all the people that's on our prayer list. You know what they need to address each one of their concerns and help them. Father, we pray for all the babies that are harder than born. We pray that you will be with them. Lord, we pray for the people that are being martyred in your name throughout the world as we speak. We pray that you will be with them, give them the strength and the courage to endure. Father, we also pray for the people that are going to have to endure those things in the future. All this we pray in Jesus' name.